How do you handle the Jaguars backfield in London Sunday morning? How can you safely start any Kansas City Chiefs receivers this week? And is one NFC West stud better off on benches in week number 7? Plus the FFPC main event week 6, 8th place team owner Bob Biondich stops by for a conversation involving Davante Adams, Tony Pollard, and much more. We've got a great show for you. Farrell Elliott is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Can't stand the pressure. I've seen greater men than these lessons.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now watching the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. Welcome to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for analysis from the best players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Farrell Elliott.
Silence in the scripture. Are we not all our father's sons? I became a man. Nobody ever told me what a man was.
Thank you, Rob, and greetings and salutations to all of you Balkaholics and Farrelliacs tuning in tonight, streaming, listening, downloading, however you're consuming this content. We appreciate you. Welcome in to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman. Follow me on the X at Eric Balkman. You know me from the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, and the Fantasy Football Players Championship over at MyFFPC.com at FFPC on the X. My co-host is the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, Farrell Elliott, at J. Farrell Elliott on the socials. And check out KFFSC.com for everything Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in. We are here in our final episode of October of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. More on that to come later on in the show. Coming up on tonight's show, Farrell and I are going to dish on the Buccaneers' hot hand backfield, which is never good, but we'll try to make sense of it and help you out for week 7. The nuance of potentially benching one Patrick Mahomes this week, and more before the FFPC main event, week 6, 8th place team owner Bob Biondich joins us to talk about Nick Chubb potentially having a pretty big role in the Cleveland Browns backfield in 2024, week 7. Jordan Whittington, even though Cooper Kupp is probably coming back, and much more. If you not want to connect with us on the X, excuse me, I already gave you the details. FFPC, J. Farrell Elliott, KFFSC official, and at Eric Balkman. KFFSC.com is where to check out the KFFSC. Post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/HSFFOR. If you have any questions for us, now is the time to send them in to either highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com or on our Facebook or X pages as well. We'll try to get to all of them in our fantasy feedback segment coming up later on in the show. Thanks to our audio engineer and my best friend, Bryce. And of course, our producer and mutual friend, Rob. Play the FFPC Weekly Challenge right now at myffpc.com. There's no draft. There's no salary cap. You can play it with or without kickers and defenses. Remember, only one player per team. Build your lineup however you want, but you can only pick one player per team. If you want Baker Mayfield, you can't have Mike Evans. If you want Justin Herbert, you can't have Ladd McConkey. That is the way it works over at myffpc.com. Enter for as little as $35. Win up to $2,500. 10, 30, and 100 team contests. Go to myffpc.com. That's myffpc.com. Shout out to James Hicks. Good evening. Best part of Friday, fantasy football talk with Balky and Farrell, football emoji, and then I'm assuming the pig emoji. And by the way, we'll put, since James is posting on this right away, I'm going to do this right now, and we'll get it out of the way, but he'll make an appearance later on in the program. Since Team Porky's is chiming in the chat, we will have Oinker chime in as well. Oinker, what do you have to say about tonight's show? All right, it's going to be a good one, says Oinker, and we'll hear from him later on before we bid you adieu to that good night into week 7. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share with your friends, share with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live. More on that coming as I update you on not only next week, but the next 2 weeks of the FFPC podcasts that are going on over at the FFPC YouTube channel and much more. Without further ado, let's bring them in. KFFSC officials own J. Farrell Elliott. Welcome aboard, Kamish. How we doing tonight, man?
Hey, buddy, I'm fine. Thank you. You know, that's a really great It's a really great thing that James starts us out with every show, isn't it?
I love it. I think it sets the tone for quality entertainment, and it lowers the bar for expectations. So it's the best of both worlds, right?
Is it true?
You kind of know what you're getting into.
Well, I'll tell you what we're getting into.
Go ahead.
People are watching the show for revenge factor, Balky. We gave them such great advice last weekend on any with several players that would get you between 2 and 4 points. We did well. But you know what? We stayed strong with Derrick Henry. Maybe we can talk a little bit about him tonight.
We're going to get into it with our guest tonight, because Bob Biondich went crazy on Ravens in his eighth place overall main event team. So, and we're going to talk about that because I think owning Ravens going forward is certainly a good thing, as Marcus Stewart would say. Brent Studebaker watching us on Facebook right now. He says, let's talk about Farrell's big trade in the FFPC Dynasty number 26, 4.0. Did you make a big Dynasty trade this week?
Brent, you have to remind me what it is. I love the 26ers so much just for letting me be there that when one of them suggests a trade, I usually just push accept. Well, I want to be known as a guy that goes along to get along. I have learned my place that in 26er world, I'm a second division participant on a regular basis.
Perhaps second division? What does that mean?
A league. League. I'm sorry. League.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
We call them divisions down here. I get confused.
Okay.
But, Jonathan Brooks. I gave away Brooks for some aged veterans.
Okay. And you're looking to compete and make a run this year, I'm assuming.
It'd be nice to win a game or two just for fun.
Okay. That's one way to do it.
Just one head to head.
We should lead off the show with that because Jonathan Brooks is not being activated this week. And if you're trading him in a dynasty league, Farrell, it seems like you may be less than enthused about Jonathan Brooks' 2024 contributions.
I cannot even remember what Jonathan Brooks did in college at this point, Balky. It's been so long. So I'm saying so long.
To JV. I get it. That's cool. And that's fine. And, you know, listen, the longer it goes on without him appearing, the better the trade probably looks for you, quite frankly.
And, you know, we're in a situation where – I talk with scouts daily who are out on the road evaluating ball players, and they will come to a consensus and players will be drafted. And it still comes down to this business not being a science.
Yeah.
And it's if you look at what's going on at San Francisco this weekend, then the reemergence of Carolina, Hubbard, what's happening in Jacksonville, I'm much like the NFL general managers. I'm devaluing the running back position.
Interesting. And that may pay off too down the road. We shall see on that. I want to bring up and start off with a receiver this week, Farrell, because we saw a bevy of trades. Cam Akers from Houston to Minnesota, Devontae Adams from Las Vegas to New York, and this one, Amari Cooper from Cleveland to Buffalo. Jordan Schultz, who covers the NFL for Fox Sports, reported that Amari Cooper is indeed expected to play against the Tennessee Titans this week. Sean McDermott saying Wednesday that no decision had been made on whether Cooper was going to be playing or not, but it sounds like the team now, as of Friday, is expecting him to get out there. How significant it is, I don't know. Is it going to be 5 snaps? Is it going to be 15? Is it going to be 30? Is it going to be 50? I don't know. But Cooper is immediately the best receiver on the roster. We have to look at it from a redraft weekly standpoint in this scenario here. If you own Amari Cooper, Farrell, and let's assume you have decent options, not bad options that you can plug in, is Amari Cooper's juice worth the squeeze in week 7 against Tennessee?
I think so. I'm definitely going to run the player out there. If we go back to August and September, Balky, and I told you that Cooper was going to be on the Bills, would he have been a second-round draft pick? Would you have paid that draft capital for him early? Would he have gone before Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and some of those guys? Yeah, I think this is a premier receiver of the NFL, and what he does best is superlative route running. He'll have more time to run those routes with Allen at quarterback. I think it's going to be fantastic. It's going to free up some things for Shakir as well. I just like big congratulations to the front office to pull off that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we should mention, and I believe I've made my feelings very clear on this program throughout the summer, Amari Cooper, year after year, over the last half decade, has always outperformed his draft's ADP. And this year it was looking like, maybe this isn't going to be the year it's going to happen, right? And then all of a sudden he gets a deal to go from Cleveland to Buffalo to not only be the immediate number one receiver in Buffalo, but to be catching passes from one of the best quarterbacks in football in Josh Allen. It is a win-win-win, as the office's Michael Scott would say. This is perfect for Amari Cooper. And I honestly am breaking ties in favor of Amari Cooper this week. I want to believe, I want to get him out there because I know how high the upside is. So yes, I agree with you. I think Amari Cooper is a difference maker in week 7. We'll get into this a little bit later on in the program, but I thought we'd bring this up right now with Brent Studebaker chiming in. Balky, sneaky play of the week has to be Deontay Foreman. No chance they give Nick Chubb a full load. What do you think of him for the week? And I'm glad he brought this up because I thought I was the only one thinking about this. Jerome Ford has already been ruled out for Cleveland. We know Nick Chubb is questionable, but Kevin Stefanski already says he is expected to play. And if they are not giving the full workload to Nick Chubb, Deontay Foreman is going to handle a lot of it too. I don't know about how crazy I want to go with him, but yes, as far as a second flex this week, I think you could do worse, especially with a lot of difference makers on bye, both in Dallas and in Chicago. Not going crazy on it, Farrell, but I do see a path for Deontay Foreman getting double-digit points or more in the FFPC in week 7.
Double-digit points are hard to come by, especially last week and especially for Alvin Kamara last night. So, look, I suppose in this scenario, I guess – that I just draft running backs. I draft too many running backs too high because this is not on my radar anywhere, but it makes sense and it's logical. And I just really, Chubb's injury was so difficult to watch. I would just love to see him get the ball, pick up steam, get in rhythm and stay on the field. So I'm rooting for Chubb have a really, really successful game. If Brent tells me he's starting Foreman, then I'm going to have to change my my whole wish list goes the other way because we root for the 26ers, even the one that's still in college.
Who's the one that's still in college?
Hudson Curran Reed.
Oh, yes, he is still in college.
By the way, Brown is playing Princeton tonight. I think Princeton won late in the Ivy League, and at least 200 people attended the game.
Nothing like an Ivy League football score.
The Ivy League updates here.
This is why you tune in. This is why you tune in for it. Permar 99 says, go pick up Farrell's favorite, Noah Brown, mm-hmm. currently second in the NFL in separation score. He's your pivot if Deontay Johnson is out. And to Permar's point, Deontay Johnson, for the first time all season, missed back-to-back practices on Wednesday and Thursday. He got in a limited practice today, but Farrell, the list of the injuries that he's dealing with right now is longer than my wife's receipt on her latest trip to Walgreens. It's insane. It is insane how long his injury list is. So I think, and given that it's a 405 start, it makes perfect sense if you want to pivot to Noah Brown there. You could also do Xavier Leggett, although he is owned in a significant amount of leagues. So that's something to be thinking about here going forward. Permar also agrees on the Deontay Foreman call for sure. And Brent Studebaker posting this little sexy tinfoil cap conspiracy theory tonight. Nick Chubb is showcasing right now by the Browns, and he's trying to get traded. Watch out for the Dallas Cowboys. Ooh, I love me some self. I love myself some Nick Chubb in Dallas right now, Farrell.
First, he fleeces me in the 26 and 4.0, and then he comes out to start fleecing some NFL teams. Yeah. And Permar has a depth of knowledge. As one of the things I appreciate about him. He's got a depth of knowledge 2 and 3 deep of the positionals. And I think players would have more success in fantasy ball if they were to follow that. You know, one of the most discouraging things I ever hear is when I'm in week 3 and I'll talk to someone about going on the waiver wire and they'll say, there's no one there. There's no one left on the waiver wire. Yes, there is. And the more you understand who those players are, by watching them in college preseason and reading in the media, the better fantasy player you're going to be. And Noah Brown flashes when he plays. He's never been in a situation to get on the field and stay on the field. Unfortunately, for me personally, my Noah Brown type starts this year have not yielded too much points, but definitely Brown is a player that I like.
Yeah, I think pick him up. I mean, like Permar is the type of guy. Like, why can't the FFPC have 22 man rosters? Why can't it have 24 man rosters? Why
it'd be much less fun?
It'd be much less fun because guys like Permar would be crushing it every week because they know these guys to pick up that are right outside the top 20 for every team. Travis Etienne, Farrell is questionable for Week 7 in London. To lead things off at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning against New England. The team already said that Etienne is probably going to be a game time decision. We should find out by 8 o'clock whether he is going to be up or not. He was limited in practice all week, but I think the biggest thing facing you if you have to make a decision on Travis Etienne is not necessarily whether the dude's going to be out there. It's going to be how involved is Tank Bigsby? How involved, quite frankly, is D'Ernest Johnson? Now, I think the Johnson thing is somewhat of an afterthought. It's a tertiary problem to have right now. But the biggest problem is Tank Bigsby. How do you imagine if Etienne is active, they're going to split the workload against the Patriots? 50-50, 60-40, 70-30. Who is the guy to start in the Jacksonville backfield this week, my friend?
It appears to be a hot hand. You know, last week, the tight end, Ingram, was getting open, and they saw to the fact they got him the ball. And I think whoever's being productive is going to stay on the field. This team needs a win because they come back from London. If I'm not mistaken, they don't have a bye week. And then they go into a schedule of difficult teams that will likely also see all of them in the playoffs. So, and you know, the coach needs a win here. So, whoever hits early will be the guy that's on the field. And the way the way that the number two back is playing has been very impressive. He seems to be running with a purpose. He seems to he's rewarding, you know, throughout our KFFSC draft. You know, I thought it was a little copycat action going on. I didn't think that many people could be passionate about the player, man. They were, and it's showing early in the season for a team that really needs some help. So, Etienne, if I can go further down the list, if I have someone like Pollard or Najee Harris or you know something like that, then that's where I probably would go.
Yeah, Pollard for sure. Over Etienne this week. I think I'd be with you and leaning towards Harris, even if Etienne is active. This is one of those games where you kind of hope Etienne is not active, whether you own him or not. You hope he's not active because you can play somebody else with confidence on your team, or you hope he's not active if you have Bigsby because, you know, Bigsby is going to get the lion's share of the touches in that Jacksonville backfield too. That's what we're hoping for right now. To your point, Carol, after this week, of playing in London against the Patriots, Jacksonville hosts the Green Bay Packers. Then they go on the road to Philly. Then they go back home to face the currently undefeated Minnesota Vikings. They then go to the Motor City to take on the Detroit Lions, one of the Super Bowl contenders right now. They get a week off in Thanksgiving week. And what's the reward after that? You get to host the 5-1 Houston Texans. It's going to get rough for the Jaguars. They desperately need a win in London, as you stated so eloquently earlier. I have kept our guest in the green room way too long. Let's bring him in right now, Farrell. He is a multi-league champion in the FFPC main event and the Fantasy Pros Championship. Only 7 teams coming into Week 7 separated him from the top spot in the 2024 FFPC main event, a competition that will pay out a $1 million grand prize to the winner. Please welcome onto the show Bionic Bob himself. It is Bob Beyondich. Bob, thanks so much for hopping aboard tonight, man.
Thanks, guys. Good evening. Say, thanks for having me on. I do have to prerequisite what I'm wearing. I rarely ever show my colors, mainly because it's a it's kind of a difficult answer as to how I ended up a Viking fan while being born in Wisconsin. Because as you know, Eric, you're born in Wisconsin, it's like a religion. You are a Packer fan no matter where you live, where you go. You're always a Packer fan. But somehow I got away from that. So, and my daughter went to UGA, and much to Farrell's last note, watch college football. You'll understand, you know, the pickups, you know, later in the season like this season. There's a lot of good players out there still to be had on waiver wire. So
thanks for having me. Well, absolutely, Bob. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm actually going to be tomorrow night for that big Georgia-Texas game. I'll actually be watching that game in Texas tomorrow. And I'm not going to be, not that I have anything, but I'm not going to be wearing any Georgia gear in that game. I'm just excited to watch it amongst college football fans, the center of the college football universe in Austin, Texas tomorrow night between the Longhorns and the Dogs. And you're rooting for the Dogs hardcore, man.
You know, it's been a frustrating year because we haven't seen the best of them yet. And the Alabama game, they woke up late and, you know, just, you know, one slip by the DB at the end gave away that game. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a different Georgia team tomorrow against Texas. So Texas really hasn't played an offensive team like Georgia's bringing. Either though, we probably aren't as strong at that running back, even though we have Etienne's brother on the team. And, you know, we have a couple good receivers, but we're still – we don't have the Pickens of the past or, you know, some of the other, you know, good wide receivers we had. So,
and we'll like every devoted Bulldogs fan's second favorite SEC team this year is Vanderbilt. So that's a really good.
Sure. That's I hear that all the time, Farrell.
Commodore Bob.
And there's a kinship between the Packers and Georgia, not only because of the similarities in the logo, but if you look at who the Packers have drafted over the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a lot of Georgia defenders. Devontae Wyatt, Quay Walker, Eric Stokes, and who's the other one I'm forgetting? Bullard. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there's been a lot of them this year. Remind me again, Bob, what part of Wisconsin were you born in?
Well, I kind of keep that close to the vest because, I try not to go down that rabbit hole, but I actually went to Franklin High School, just south of Milwaukee.
My dad was a Milwaukee Hamilton guy. I know what you're talking about with Franklin for sure. This is good stuff.
Eric, unfortunately, I left the state and I moved to Minnesota and I spent 2 years moving back or driving back and forth to watch Packer games on Sundays and 2 years of watching Jerry Tagey, Jerry Tagey, Jim Delgazzo, Scott Hunter. I was done with it. Yeah. And then some guy named Kowski came along and got us ignited. And in a weird twist of fate, the football gods came back. My son actually took Mikowski's daughter to homecoming 15 years later down to Georgia. And then I had to explain to him why I wasn't a Packer fan. And I said, Don, you just came along at the wrong time. What can I say?
And the magic, man, I'll be honest with you. I promise everybody we'll get into the fantasy football analysis. I may have shared this on the stream before. But, Bob, I was at the game when Mikowski went down against the Bengals and Favre came in and essentially never relinquished the role after that. Yeah. And I remember I'm a big Florida State fan, so I wanted to go to watch Terrell Buckley because that was Buckley's first game after he had held out. And so, of course, Buckley muffs his first punt return. His second one, he returns to the house. Yep. And then when Mikowski went down, who was like God's gift to the Packers, right? I turned to my dad. I said, we're screwed. All we got is this guy that they just traded a first round pick to Atlanta for. This Favre guy. We're done, you know. And then, you know, fast forward 30 plus years later and Green Bay has never been hurting at the quarterback position.
And that's why we don't laugh at anybody's drafts after draft two, because we just never know until the end. Right.
That's a good point.
Bob, let
me ask you this. When you are not hanging around at the top of the fantasy football main event FFPC leaderboard, what are you doing right now for a living?
Well, that's a funny question, too. I mean, how long is the show? I'm on for 25 minutes. the last 3 years I made an app. I made an intermittent fasting app. So that went live 4 months ago. My wife and I started a little company where we started buying some properties down south and refurbishing and building them out to rent. And I actually, my thing I really like to do, and I've been doing over 30 years, is I still coach. And I still coach here. This is my fifth state I lived in. I live in New Jersey now. And I'm coaching at the local high school here in Morristown, New Jersey, and who actually Redskins head coach is alumni of Morristown High School. Really? And I coach football, wrestling, and lacrosse. And, the kids keep me young. They make me laugh, and I love doing it. And then to keep me out of trouble, I'm back doing my art. I was a freelance artist for many years, and now that the kids are out of the house, I'm back to doing my art. So,
and then hey, intermittent fast
every football game,
So intermittent fasting app, artist, and high school multi-sport coach. You have it going on, my friend.
That you are fasting because you don't have time to eat anyway. So I can understand how that app became very, very popular. You know,
that's too long, usually.
But yeah, where did you draft your teams? Drafting in the FFPC is a glorious thing. I love doing it online, but as much as I love doing it online, I love doing it on live. Live is what it's all about for me. Did you come to Las Vegas this year?
Yeah, I have the last 33 years. And funny story, guys, I'm number two pick. I'm at the table 10 minutes before. So I asked the guy, number one, I says, listen, I can't take your guy, so who you pick it? And he tells me he's picking CeeDee Lamb. So I'm thinking, I got to pick Cafferty, okay? So then all of a sudden, 2 minutes later, Dave from FFPC comes over, taps on my shoulder, and he says, Bob, he goes, do you mind moving to the table over here? You know, a couple guys want to play in this league. And I'm like, yes, please move me because I might get who I want over there. Honest to God, I sit down. Kid sits down next to me. I said, who are you picking? He goes, picking McCafferty. And I'm like, yes. So if I sit at the table and I don't get moved, I'm not sitting here looking at your handsome faces, guys, because that's I would have had McCafferty. So as you know, there's a lot of luck that goes into this game. And so I got the number two at that table, and I took CD. And you know, and you talk about how many Baltimore players I had. I mean, we all done this long enough that we do a couple pre-drafts. We do, you know, we get an idea of where everybody's going to go. And then you have to have a plan A, B, and C. So, you know.
And then you can throw it all out when the Thursday night game comes up.
And that's exactly what
happened. Our beloved Derrick Henry scores 10 fantasy points on Thursday night.
And I got him in the fourth round.
And likely becomes the second round pick on some of the is absolutely
every year.
So I experienced something similar. I was drafting out of the 12th spot. Where were you drafting from?
Two.
Well, you're drafting from number two. So when you got him in the fourth round, so that means you got him at the very end of the fourth round, correct?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there at the 12th spot, and you make your second pick, and then you know you sit around and you take in what's going on. You know, my favorite thing about live is to just evaluate the fact that my league has the greatest facilitator. You know, I love meeting the girls that come in to facilitate the league. Matter of fact, 2 years ago we had a young lady, Vegas Christina is what she goes by on Instagram, and she's built a fabulous business in Las Vegas, appearing as a Taylor Swift in all the shows. You know, it's just you meet these girls are incredible. So you know, I'm just checking things out, and then I tune back into the draft, and I realize that Derrick Henry is still on the board. And I sit there with great, great excitement, just wondering if he'll get back to me. And I take him at the 4-1 spot. You waited 10 more selections before you got him.
Well, we know that when you draft live, people draft differently than online at home.
Yeah.
So, but you're a lot more pressure
at the end of the fourth round. So you sit there waiting for him. Yeah. Could you believe that he got back to you?
Honestly, I didn't want him, but I had to take him.
So when he came to you,
it wasn't like
you said, "I guess I'll take Derrick Henry." You know, you weren't thrilled about it. Well, okay, so you ended up with Lamar Jackson on this team and a couple other Ravens. Why didn't you split and double down and go out and get Zay Flowers as well?
You know, I remember watching him last year, and there's just something about the guy. He hasn't done it yet that I can't trust. You know, I mean, there's just, you know, whether it's he'll run the wrong route or he's going to do something. And I just, I kind of look at it as I'd rather get somebody like I got Adams, and I don't know what route I'm going. I got CeeDee Lamb, and then I got, you know, Godwin. And I figured I've got all these running backs. I don't need to have four number ones. Otherwise, I'm going to give up a running back. And I know everybody throws the running backs away, and I kind of look at, you know, Chubb, I knew I was going to try to get, you know, George Guy. And Dobkins, I remember watching him at Ohio State, and I knew he was hurt a couple times, and he's a stud. And I knew in the Chargers he was going to get a lot of yards. So, and Pollard, I had him a couple years before he got hurt, and I love the guy. And I know that, you know, he's just back to where he was a couple years ago, so he's going to only get stronger too. And then Montgomery, I mean, he's going to get the ball a lot. So I had four solid running backs. So I needed to get a tight end. And that's, you know, so I at that time, it was kind of a position needed. So I didn't, you know, it would be nice to have the quarterback wide receiver combination. But, you know, I already had the running back, the kicker, the defense, and the, you know, the quarterback.
Well, I think that defense is going to begin to turn it around for you. I really do. I think that, you know, so far we haven't seen the Baltimore defense that we expected, but I think we might in upcoming games. Well, good job, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. A flock of Ravens leading Bob Beyondich to eighth place overall in the FFPC main event. I want to talk a little bit about one of the trades that went down this week. Devontae Adams goes from Las Vegas to New York. You took Devontae Adams in the third round of this main event draft that has you sitting in eighth place over the overall. Are there any concerns that you might have knowing that Adams has missed the last couple of weeks, whether it was a hamstring injury or whether it was not, but this is a new team, new OC, new offense, new quarterback, new everything. Any concerns about starting Devontae Adams knowing that this is his first game as a Jet and Garrett Wilson's been pretty good the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, none at all. This is, you know, I had Amari Cooper a couple of years ago, too, when he got traded from the Cowboys to Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. You know, I knew it was going to be a different quarterback offense, and Amari's not Dante, in my mind, as far as picking it up. Dante went to his quarterback. He went to an offense that's very similar to what he ran with Rodgers before. So, and we all know that Dante's hamstring wasn't as bad as, you know, he led on. So he's fine to go. He's got, you know, Rodgers, and if Wilson's going to get 22 targets in a game a couple weeks in a row, Dante's going to get 11. He's going to get his eight catches and probably a touchdown. So, I really do like Dante.
And, guys, if you don't start Adams and he scores, you'll have to live. You'll be talking about it for the next 5 years. But and if you start him and he has a bad week, you have to say, yeah, but you know you had to start him. He's Adams, so yeah, you know you're kind of covering yourself. You don't want to have
many times
for the next 5 years. Early on, with the pros versus the Joes, which Balky, next time we get together, I think we need a pros versus Joes update just to see how badly the pros are doing this year.
Yeah, but, we can do that.
You know. Everybody was really leaning Spears. Balky, don't let me talk out of school, but I felt this summer everyone was leaning Spears, and people had basically closed the book on Pollard or reluctantly would take him ninth or tenth round. That's where they hoped they would get him. I really saw it the other way. And despite the fact that the team is a disaster in execution, and when Pollard has the ball, there does appear to be hope. I think he's a must start all the time. Spears doesn't even equal into the equation for me. Tell us what you think about the Pollard Spears situation, Bob.
Yes, I totally agree with that. I mean, the defense for Tennessee is good enough to keep him in a lot of games, so they don't have to get away from the running game at an early stage. Much like I think Cleveland, if you start Chubb, Cleveland, you know, against Cincinnati might fall behind and Chubb's not going to get as many carries, you know. So if I'm looking at either Chubb or Pollard, which I'm lucky enough, I've got Eckler also too. I've got about six running backs to pick from. Pollard's a no-brainer. And with, you know, his supposedly backup out of the mix for a while, I just I love Pollard this weekend, you know. And he has said too that he's probably as close to 100% as he's been in 2 years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a huge Pollard fan going forward, especially this week. If I have Pollard on any of my teams, he is in my starting lineup. I won't have better options than him. I know it's Buffalo, but I also understand that he is going to get the lion's share of touches in that backfield. Give me some Tony Pollard for sure this week. We touched on this earlier in the program. Nick Chubb, Kevin Stefanski says, is expected to make his debut despite him being listed as questionable. We know Jerome Ford is out. Obviously, you have Deontay Foreman on that team as well. Probably no Nyheim Hines, but and I don't know the status of Pierre Strong. But, you know, knowing that you have Nick Chubb on this eighth place main event team and knowing that Jerome Ford is out and knowing they are playing a team with a 2-4 record in Cleveland, how are you handling Nick Chubb this weekend, my friend?
I don't even know if I'll play Chubb next week with that quarterback. You had a previous guest on the other day that said something pretty funny. Watson has to throw 20 balls at my guy for him to catch 4 or 5. He's so inaccurate right now. So, I mean, the game against Cincinnati, to me, knowing that Cincinnati has their full, you know, defense back, I think it's going to get away, and they're not going to keep Chubb in there catching passes out of the backfield and, you know, at the end of a game or something like that, you know, that garbage time. So I wouldn't chance Chubb to do it. Just because he's a name, don't just put him in there because you're not scaring anybody, you know, by starting Nick Chubb this weekend. So, you know, it's just not worth the risk.
Good for football and good for fantasy football. Back when everyone was getting hurt, you just say, oh, the injuries, oh, the injuries. It just now some of the guys are coming back, and it is good. Whether we're going to play them or not, it's good. I'm going to play Cooper Kupp, and I don't have him a lot of teams, so it's not a great exposure to him. But we've seen good production out of the group of other receivers that have joined us that have joined the lineup at the Rams, including Tutu Atwell, who played collegiately here at Louisville. I'm not that familiar with Jordan Whittington. I would like you to make me more familiar with him, and I'd like you to talk about any of the other Rams pass catchers. And after they have made a showing of being quality NFL players, what can we expect from them the rest of the year?
Do you know, this year seems a little different than past when all of a sudden a lot of receivers are getting hurt, that we have one guy that's the backup go out there, catch 8, 9, and all of a sudden we bid them up. We overbid, and then they come back. Trey, the kid from Raiders, he had, you know, 2-3 Great. Catches. And then Bud yesterday had a whole lot last week. He had 0 yesterday. So I am very slow to jump on board as somebody that comes in as a backup and gets 8-1 a week, because very often that's their best game, you know, and then you got Cooper coming back, you know, so I pick these guys up and it's a rotation. You know, I know you guys don't see what I'm doing, but every week I'm taking, you know, stabs at a player that it might happen. So Whittington was kind of a stab that I was taking, and because Adams came back this week and he's going to play, I don't need to play Whittington and take a chance.
If I could stab a player, it would be the Tennessee Titan wide receivers. You didn't say stab a player. You said you'd take a stab. I understand.
Now I get it.
Calvin Ridley. That man has the right jersey for fantasy football. He's letting us know what he's doing.
Zero.
Yeah, you're right. It's rough. I'm beginning to think that the fourth receiver on some teams is better than the 1 and 2 on others. You know, it's that kind of year. But. Mm-hmm.
That's true. There's a lot of teams like that this year, unfortunately. I wouldn't want a Cleveland Browns wide receiver.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's weird. I was talking about this earlier this week. Like, even though Judy moves from the number two to the number one receiver, I don't think we're going to see a bump, and I don't hear anybody talking about how excited they are about Judy, or quite frankly, even Njoku too. Like, a guy that should see a bump in targets. You don't hear anybody just, you know, wringing their hands together with glee, like, oh, this is David Njoku's time. It's not, and it's unfortunate what's going on in Cleveland right now. Let's talk about the Commanders here, Bob. Brian Robinson, I do believe I should check the injury report today. I think he is all set. I think he's good to go against the Panthers this week. And it's the Panthers, too. So a total positive game script for the Commanders running backs. Knowing, and let's just assume Robinson is healthy. Let's assume he is going this week. Would you still think about starting Austin Eckler as a flex in your FFPC league? Obviously, dependent upon who else you have. But would Eckler make sense not only this weekend against Carolina, but as long as Robinson is healthy, is Eckler still a guy you would consider to start?
Yeah, you know, that's another tough one. I mean, Robinson's out, and you've got two good quality backs in back of them. I wouldn't doubt if the game gets away, you know, that they're playing all three running backs. And that doesn't make one more valuable than the other, you know. So, unfortunately, I'm in a position where I don't need to worry about that this week. But I did start Eckler 1 week, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, and he caught, I think, half a dozen catches or something like that. And I hope he's close to what he used to be, because he is. He looks like he's pretty darn close, but he's a very valuable running back out of the backfield. I mean, he's hard to tackle, and he's shifty, and he's a good player. He's fun to watch. But, yeah, I'm not going to – he's on my bench, at least for a few more weeks. So.
Commanders are a 9.5-point favorite against Carolina in our nation's capital this week. Total of 51.5. And as Bill Hollywood points out, there is going to be a lot of running in that Panthers-Commanders game, too, especially when you consider how good Chuba Hubbard's been this year. Despite him playing on a bad team, he's third in the NFL in rushing. He is still picking up buku fantasy points, too, which is weird to think, because you'd think a lot of negative game scripts would prevent him from being effective. He's not only effective, he's a good start against Washington this week as well. But, Farrell, let's talk about quarterbacks here for a second, my friend.
I agree with that. I had to check the week schedule. The Detroits are traveling to Minnesota with Jared Goff at quarterback. He plays much better at home than he does on the road. Also traveling this week is Seattle Seahawks and Geno Smith to the Atlantis. Now, I had to double check, because we started the show off by talking about Princeton. I had to make sure the Seahawks weren't at Princeton, because that's the only reason, to me, this question has any legitimacy. But between Goff and Geno, who are you going to run out there on your FFPC team this week?
God. I am not crazy about either. I mean,
it's Geno's a trick question. Somewhere there's a trick in here.
I think the thing is, Bob, is both of these guys have been pretty good so far this year, and both of these guys are playing in games this week. The total on that Seahawks Falcons game is 51.5. The total on that Lions Vikings game is 50.5. High totals, guys who've been performing pretty well. But as Farrell points out, these guys are much better at home than they are on the road. The problem, they're both on the road this week.
I try not to overthink fantasy football. You know what I mean? I mean, when we start overanalyzing and overthinking it, and really when I keep it simple, hey, you know what? Seattle guy, he's number one in the league in yards. He's against Atlanta. Atlanta's defense is a whole lot easier to throw against than Minnesota. And I know that the Vikings are going to be chasing Goff all around the yard tomorrow and or Sunday. So I would go with Geno. You know,
yeah, but you know, Bob, Goff caught a touchdown pass, and that resonates with me. You know, I'm still living. Any quarterback who can catch a touchdown pass, he can go 18 for 18 in a game. That's my guy. I just don't feel like sitting him. But you know, Geno's from Alabama, and some family might come to the game, and I'm not going to overthink it either, Bob. But I'm just going to keep thinking. Maybe that's the definition of overthinking.
Every weekend I get text messages from friends asking for advice, and honest God, I'm probably 50-50 on it. So we got a 50-50 shot getting this right.
Yeah. Tell them to do a little intermittent fasting, and they will come to the answer themselves. You know, send out the damn app there. You know, I mean, there's no bulky. There's no reason that we can't promote the app right now.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, Bob. What's the intermittent fasting?
Little promotion there, Bob. Little app promotion.
It's called Fast Track Fasting. It is Fast Track with one T. FASTRACK. Fast Track Fasting. Mm-hmm. So okay. And it was a couple friends of mine that are iFit trainers, you know, that are pretty well known, that got me going on it, and I didn't even know what fasting was when they came to me. And And I built an app, and I've learned so much, and it was a lot of fun. So, and it's probably taken 20 pounds off my body.
I see that one T there. I like it.
That's it. There you go.
It goes too fast to put both T's in. That's why.
Next time I see you guys in Vegas, I'll buy you a beer. Thanks.
Now, is that on the intermittent fasting app? Is beer on there? Like I feel like you got to sandwich a lot of beers into a short amount of time.
We do have an article that talks about alcohol and, you know, consumption and calories and all that. Yeah.
Well, not favorably.
Let's talk about that article over a beer in Las Vegas. That's
what we'll do. Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. Exactly. Let's go with a couple of emails in moderation. We only have two of them tonight. Mike in Ambler, Pennsylvania writes, Trey Sermon or Tyler Goodson this week? Thank you so much, Mike in Ambler, PA. Apparently, Trey Sermon is not even on the injury report this week. He's going to be playing against the Dolphins, 34 touches for 92 yards and a touchdown in two starts for the Colts so far this season. Tyler Goodson did outplay him from a yards per touch standpoint last week. And Goodson is clear to me, clearly the pass catcher of the two. If you can only play one, is it Sermon because he's the starter, or is it Goodson because he's maybe the more explosive player and the pass catcher? How would you handle this knowing that Taylor's out this week, Bob?
Trey is a very frustrating player. I mean, he was, very good for San Fran. And when he came from San Fran, I thought, you know, he's got his chance finally. And I did pick him up on one of my teams and started him 2 weeks in a row. I gave him two chances. If I give him a third chance and he does it again, shame on me. So I'm not playing him. Tyler's in. So
it's good. Yeah, there you go.
His chance.
Let's do one more email here. Hi, Bob. Should I be worried about Aaron Jones' risk of re-injury if I start him against the Lions? Thank you. That is Rick in Blue Ash, Ohio. The Jones thing I think is interesting because the injury was originally reported as a hip injury against the Jets in London. And then Aaron Jones revealed this week it was a hamstring that tightened up on him in pregame, and then he still tried to play through it, and then it really tightened up on him when the game started and the Vikings decided to help hold him out as a precaution. This is soft tissue, Bob. This is a guy that's had a history of soft tissue injuries. Are we playing with fire if we start Aaron Jones? How high is the risk of re-injury if you play Aaron Jones against the Lions this week?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I'm a Viking fan. My daughter and I were at the London game and watched it. And in London, you didn't get updates on players and stuff. And I had to text friends back in the U.S. as, why isn't Jones in? You know, and they were saying hip. And it didn't look like a hip injury to me. And then he came out hamstring maybe. So he practiced today. You know, he did, I think, on Monday also. If he's playing, you know, you got to play him, you know. I mean, it's just, he's a stud, and he's going to be used a lot on Sunday. If we're going to beat Detroit, they're going to need him, you know, in the backfield, coming out of the backfield and receptions. And, he'll get maybe 4 to 6 receptions. So
It's tough for me to envision a scenario in any of my KFFSC leagues, Farrell, where I have Aaron Jones, where I'm like, you know what? I'm going to roll with somebody else because I'm worried about him getting hurt in this game. Fantasy football is won by the bold. Upside wins championships. There is upside with Aaron Jones. There is not a whole lot of upside in playing a guy like Antonio Gibson. Ethan is out. No, I believe that this is the case. There's not a whole lot of upside in playing Trey Sermon. There is a lot of upside in playing Aaron Jones, which is why I think unless you went crazy robust RB, Jones is probably your guy this week, at least as your second running back, or at a bare minimum, a flex for sure this week. Go ahead with our final question.
In our final question tonight, Balky, has a great deal of legitimacy to it because a lot of the guys in the comments are looking for answers for this. But, Bob, we need a sleeper. Last week I gave a sleeper as the Raiders wide receiver corps. That's got to be the worst sleeper of all time. That was, you know, so you don't have to be right, but you just need to give us something that we can sink our teeth into and have hope. So we need a sleeper and a player that, we're talking about perhaps being disappointed with Jones. Give us another player that is a regular starter, but you fear, and you're not a guy that lives in fear. But you fear for those who do start him that they may not get rewarded. So a sleeper and a bust for this week.
Well, Farrell, I might disappoint you, but I look at my team as kind of a whole team, a holistic team. My kicker, my defense are just as important as my starting quarterback and running back. And again, you'll see me every single week. I am streaming a defense, okay? Mm-hmm. And I take that very serious. In the draft, I picked Baltimore only because they were the last of the good ones, and then I needed to pick something because Baltimore already played and they didn't get anything. So I picked the Minnesota Vikings, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the Vikings, I don't know what they had, 20-some points in the first week.
Yep.
And then I just continued to do that, picking the Bears. So I've been pretty lucky Philly last week. And this week, though, and my streamer and really my sleeper to play and put in the lineup is Cincinnati defense. Now, if you mm-hmm. watch them last week, they finally got their team together. Okay. And if you watch them last week, you saw Joe Burrow finally looking like Joe Burrow and the receivers looking good. Their running backs now, you know, it seems like they each know what they're supposed to do. So that's going to be a game that's going to get away from. And Cleveland, I think, is going to have a tough time moving the ball. And I think Cincinnati, if you think about a player scoring you 10, 12, that's a sleeper. That's pretty good. Your defense, Cincinnati, to me, is going to score 10, 12 points for you this week. So to me, Cincinnati is my sleeper for this week to play.
I love that. Very nice.
I can get on board with that. Is there a guy that people are going to be disappointed with this week?
Oh, God. I'm sure it's one of my guys on my team because I've been having some years. And my wife is surprised I'm doing this because she says I'm usually kind of, you know, I don't want to break my luck and I'm kind of, you know, superstitious. I'm not. I just said, I'm not worried about it anymore. You know, so I guess the person I'd be really worried about finally not having a good game is probably Lamar Jackson. You know, he's just, he's had a terrific year. And for him not to be considered the MVP so far, I mean, they should have beat Kansas City. You know, they should have beat San Francisco. I mean, they, you know, some of these games that they're losing, they're in right to the end. So, likely he's got, you know, a shorter or a smaller foot. That ball's in and he catches it, you know, and it's Lamar made the pass, you know. And so I'm worried that he might throw a stinker in here. So Lamar could be the one that I'd be worried about this week. So,
yeah,
I wouldn't lose any sleep over it, though.
Right.
Wow, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, it's
one of those things where it's like, you know, you understand that there is a risk for an underperformance from Lamar Jackson. At the same time, you can't really sit him. You're going to play him. You're bracing yourself for maybe an underwhelming game. That is going to be a huge game. Great games this week in the NFL.
He picked a defense as a sleeper. Bob, you must honor the invitation that will be forthcoming for you to come play in Kentucky because that's, you know, we're the home of defensive play. And I hear you're in London, and I still, you know, Balky's asked you three times. I don't know where in the hell you live. You're all over the place, but you got to come.
Jersey.
Wherever you are, we will get you to Kentucky. Well, he's from Minnesota.
My fifth state. It's my favorite state. I can't believe I'd ever say that. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of Jet fans. They practice 10 minutes down my from where I live here. I see too many Jet fans.
Yeah. So he's coming to Kentucky. I don't know what he said there, but I think it was he's coming to Kentucky, and that's what we need you to do.
Exactly.
I can throw these up here. Permar 99 says his sleeper this week is Noah Brown. His bust is Josh Brown.
Now, see, Permar's breaking the rules again because poor old Josh Downs is injured. You can't be a bust if you're injured.
He's playing, though, isn't he?
It's very questionable. Bob, okay. What do you know about Josh Downs?
You know, it's funny you say that because my ex-partner that used to come to Vegas with me, he's called my silent partner. Yeah. And when I would, you know, he would once in a while tap me, he says, Bob, what do you think of this player? And I look at him, I says, Dave, he's got a broken leg. So, yeah, so this guy's giving you sleepers, Noah Brown. You might not want him as your silent partner.
Yeah.
Permar 99 says he's playing. I can tell you that Downs is officially listed as questionable. Limited practice yesterday, limited practice today. So that's what we're looking at there. And Bill Hollywood, by the way, he says his sleeper is Kayshon Boutte and his bust is James Cook.
Yeah, Ray Davis going to keep Cook off the field.
Well, Ray Davis has to get back on the field.
Yeah, that's true, too.
He missed some time this week at practice.
No, we'll see what happens there.
That's true. That is 100% factually correct. And another thing that is 100% factually correct is our guest tonight, Bob Biondich, eighth place overall in the FFPC main event. Seven teams separate him from the top of the heap in the chase for the $1 million grand prize. He's an artist. He's a coach. And you can download his app in the App Store. It's Fast Track Fasting, presented by Healthy Living LLC. Download it today and get on the right track. If you're thinking about intermittent fasting, this is step one, step two, and step 100. It's all about Fast Track Fasting. Check it out in the App Store. Bob, we appreciate it.
Thanks,
thank
sir.
You so much for your insight Thanks, tonight. Guys. Go Pack Go. And I'll be excited to watch that Georgia-Texas game tomorrow tonight for sure. Or tomorrow night for sure.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob. Guys.
We'll see you. Thank you. That is Bionic Bob himself, Bob Biondich, eighth place overall in the FFPC main event, heading in to week seven tonight.
He's knowledgeable, but he also has a blast doing this. You can tell that that, you know.
That's which is what that's what we all want, right? We all want to be smart and we all want to enjoy it. And I think that's and surrounding ourselves with knowledge and opening up our mind to other points of view from a lot of other FFPC players, KFFSC players. I think that's what makes it fun, enjoyable, and challenging too. So let's get to some emails tonight, Farrell, before we call it a night. First one is in Chris, Hancock, Massachusetts. Hey, fellas, do you like Bucky Irving better than Najee Harris this week? Interesting thing that's going on with the Buccaneers backfield. I heard Dan Williamson say this on the Fantasy Empire podcast, talking about Bucky Irving, Sean Tucker, and Rashad White. He says it's now Bucky, Tucky, and Sucky in the Buccaneers backfield. Irving, Tucker, and then Rashad White. He is not a believer in Rashad White going forward. And if you're not a believer in Rashad White, Bucky Irving is serious consideration here over Najee Harris this week. Farrell, which way are you rolling here? Irving playing on Monday night against the Ravens and Harris on Sunday night against the Jets.
I'm gonna play Harris just because of what Williamson said. Did he say that on one of the shows?
Yes, he did.
Those words actually came out of his mouth.
Words actually
and
came
then
out
of you mouth. Repeated them.
I repeated them today,
oh,
yes.
Jesus. I'm going to go with Harris over again. Yeah.
So it's a spite call.
Yes.
Najee Harris being frustrated.
But, you know, you got to love the way Bucky Irving's running. I tell you what, whoever's coaching those running backs down in Tampa, these guys are ready to play when they get in a game. You know, I give them great credit.
Kyle Giffen has this on YouTube right now. Farrell, I brought this up. I can't remember with somebody this week. Thoughts on Troy Franklin and Dynasty. He had his best game of the season in week six for the Broncos until week seven, when he had 5 for 50 last night in the Thursday night game when Denver just destroyed New Orleans. I know he's available in some of my KFFSC dynasties. I've been reluctant to cut him so far, and now I kind of want to keep him around just to see what happens with him and Knicks.
You know, we let Studebaker get away, and he should be answering this question.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, Franklin, let's say put it this way. It's about time. So, yeah, it's about time we get something out of
Franklin. Yeah, keep him around as much as you can. I know it's difficult with the bye weeks and everything, but keep him around. George in Spring Hope, North Carolina. Which guy coming off a big game would you rather start this weekend, Romeo Doubs or DeMario Douglas? Appreciate you. That is George in Spring Hope, North Carolina. Romeo Doubs at home, 1 o'clock kickoff against the Houston Texans at Lambeau Field. And then you have DeMario Douglas, who is playing in the 9:30 a.m. game in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Farrell, both of these guys had pretty good games in week six. If you can only play one in week seven, who is the correct one?
I watched two rookie quarterbacks play last night with mixed effects. Actually, three, I guess, if you count Hayner. He could be in his second year. My point is that Romeo Doubs is in a good scoring game with Jordan Love at quarterback. He doesn't have to go outside the continental United States to play football. He is my guy in this matchup.
You're going with Doubs, and I know Permar said Pop Douglas. Permar thinks that Doubs was the squeaky wheel getting the grease. I'm not entirely sure that's the case. It could be. I just know how the Packers offense works and how that organization operates, and I'd be surprised if they catered to him to make sure he had a big game. But I'm not ruling it out either, because I'm not.
I don't think.
Yeah. Okay. But to your point, I do believe that Packers Texans game is more of a fantasy bonanza than the New England Jacksonville game. And while Douglas might be the quote unquote safer play. I'm going to go with the upside here. I'm going to play Dobbs and see what happens. I'm ready to get hurt, Permar. I'm ready to get hurt, but that's the way I'm standing on this. Let's go to Josh, Brentwood, New York. No Jake Ferguson for me this week. So should I play Hunter Henry or Colby Parkinson? Hunter Henry in that aforementioned Jacksonville game. Colby Parkinson this week is at home against your Las Vegas Raiders, Farrell. Instead of Ferguson this week, he's got to go with one of these two guys. Who is the guy that should be in his starting lineup?
Well, you know, I thought it's taken Parkinson a while to get it, but it seems like it's coming together. Balky, and I don't know if you can pull it up that quickly, but what has been Hunter Henry's fantasy production FFPC-wise over maybe the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'll look it up. I'm gonna have that for you in 1 second here. Hunter Henry over, you said the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're looking at 3 for 41 last week. Uh-huh. 2 for 32, 2 for 12, and 2 for 9. Those were his last 4 weeks. And by the way, week one, 2 for 8. His only blow-up game, week two, 8 for 109. He did get in the end zone against the Texans last week, though.
Yeah, that's good stuff. You know, back in the summer, we had the Whisperer come on, you know, the tight end Whisperer. Mm-hmm. And they were really sold on the Hunter Henry. I can understand why they're whispering about it. But it's Colby Parkinson is my guy. That's what we're going to go with. So the Raiders defense, you can't find a softer one. I like big receivers, big tight ends in that. So, yeah, let's go with Colby.
Colby Parkinson, at least 3 catches in all of his games this year, except for one. His last 3 games, 3 for 21, 4 for 33, and 7 for 52. It's getting better and better. However, you do have to deal with Cooper Kupp this week. Well, the counterintuitive, not the counterintuitive, but the counter to that argument is maybe Kupp opens up some things for Parkinson this week as well. It remains to be seen. I don't have a dog in this fight. I guess I lean towards Parkinson. And the fact that you're saying Parkinson, I will say Parkinson as well. Mm-hmm. One more email here. Ron in El Campo, Texas. El Campo, I don't know. Hello, Farrell and Balky. Do I do the unthinkable and bench Patrick Mahomes for Geno Smith? Have a great week 7. That is Ron in El Campo, Texas. Now, this is interesting because Geno Smith is going up against the Falcons on the road this week. Patrick Mahomes also on the road, and he is against the Niners in a Super Bowl rematch. Farrell, I'm a weak man. I can't do it. I'm playing Mahomes over Geno Smith. How about you?
When is that game being broadcast, Buck?
Mahomes is in the 4:25 slot on Sunday.
Yeah, it's amazing that's not a primetime game. But nevertheless, Mahomes is your guy. Yeah. You can't stand watching that ball game and see him reconnect with Miko Hardman for touchdowns that won the Super Bowl. And that's just, don't do it. Just play Mahomes.
Yeah, Mahomes is finding ways to win. And it's certainly and we don't know about Juju Smith-Schuster. I looked it up. I wanted to talk about it a little bit tonight, but I have not gotten a word on his practice today because he was added to the injury report on Thursday with a hamstring injury. I don't know if he practiced or not today, but I will tell everybody to make sure you are watching that situation on Sunday morning, because if you have a better option and it's looking kind of dicey for Juju Smith-Schuster, you may want to look elsewhere at wide receiver for sure. That will complete our show tonight, Farrell. KFFSC.com is where to go, at J. Farrell Elliott on the socials. We will not have a show next week because I will be gone. So to borrow the words from the immortal poet Wyclef Jean, this show is gone till November. November 1st is when we will do our next show.
Yeah,
it has been a blast, man. Thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight. Best of luck to you and all your FFPC leagues this weekend. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
Safe travels, Bulk.
Thank you, Farrell. Appreciate it. That is Farrell Elliott, the definitive commissioner of fantasy football, joining me on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour tonight. I want to thank Farrell. I want to thank Bob Beyondich for being our guest tonight. The FFPC, Rob Bryce, and of course, each and every one of you. We will return in 2 weeks from today, November 1st. We're off next week. That was when the HSFF Hour will be back. Now, I went ahead and I did some extra shows this week. So if you are finding yourself lacking for fantasy football content next week, load up on it this week. We had two separate RotoViz high stakes lowdowns. The week five, fifth place team manager, Craig Mastro, joined me on Monday. And then on Tuesday, five-time FFPC league winner, Rick Kaufman, hung out with me. So a pair of those to watch on any of the FFPC socials, the RotoViz podcast feed. You can rewatch those at your convenience. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Show on the Better Sports Network, we did a pair of those this week as well. Tuesday night, we had For the Numbers Fantasy and Player Profilers Nelson Sousa joining me. And then, of course, on Thursday, Roto Baller and Fantasy Pros and host of the Woo Fantasy Podcast, Brandon Murchison, joined me on that broadcast. You can watch those back on the Better Sports Network's website, the BSN socials, or the FFPC socials. The HSFF show and the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown off next week. They will resume the following Tuesday and Thursday, respectively. Play the FFPC Weekly Challenge. No draft, no salary cap. Just choose 10 or 12 players. Watch them ride throughout the weekend's games. $35 or $200 to enter. And you can win up to $2,500. 10, 30, 100 team contests, all available at myffpc.com. Remember to like this video, subscribe to the channel, comment on the video, share it with your friends, share it with your enemies, and get notified each and every time we go live, which the next time will be Tuesday, October 29th on the RotoViz High Stakes Lowdown. This show will go live again on Friday, November 1st, 2024. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. May the ball bounce your way in week 7. I'll talk with you in a couple of weeks. Your weekend officially starts now.
This has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. It was broadcast live and was watched around the world. Balky and Farrell will be back next week with more analysis, more interviews, and more advice from guests much smarter than they are. Thanks for watching, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Just a PSA for everybody this week, too. You have an early morning game. The last London game of the season kicks off 9:30 a.m. New England and Jacksonville. And you have not one but two Monday night games, 8:15. It is the Ravens and the Buccaneers. And coming up at 9 o'clock, it will be the Chargers and the Cardinals exclusively on ESPN+. If you don't have ESPN+, find somebody who does, or make sure you get it so you can watch that game. Doubleheader on Monday night. I always bring this up because when you have injury situations like what's going on with Marvin Harrison and the concussion protocol, you always want to have a backup. So make sure you have these lineups all set and you have backups galore, players ready to fill in if need be. Thank you so much for watching. Oinker says good night. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Thanks for watching, everybody.